Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. Calling the Doctor is the segment on Rainbow Soul. But we start off as John Coltrane's legendary Dear Lord plays in the background. We get down on our knees and pay homage to the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, and his darling son. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Waking up, as my mother said, clothed in our right mind. Waking up to the Lord knowing that although we may not live on Park Avenue, we don't live in the park on the bench. Thank you for blessings unseen, unacknowledged, all unappreciated, all undeserved. Thank you for the little things that we so largely take for granted. Thank you for being our God. And we ask you to continue to bless us, guide us, and strengthen us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless our president. Bless our families. Bless our friends. Bless our enemies. Let us be what you have us to be. You're God all by yourself. And although you may not be everybody's God, you are God. In your holy name of Jesus, we thank you for all things. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. Calling the Doctor is the segment. Rainbow Soul. And it happens. Wait a minute. The phone is ringing. I know who. Hello, Rooney?
Good doctor, how are you?
Hey, Rooney. You told me Butch Lewis passed away?
Yeah, Doc, I'd heard that the great promoter and the hammer fighters, Butch Lewis passed, I believe, it may have been just yesterday, Doc, I believe.
You tell me a heart attack. Butch Lewis, I and I thank God for meeting him, knowing him, and thank God for you, because you... I remember the last time, if I'm correct, that I saw Butch Lewis, it was in April of 2001, Madison Square Garden. Warren Joppy is getting ready to fight Tito Trinidad in that great middleweight boxing tournament that Don King had put together. And as I'm walking toward the ringside, I'm passing Butch, and I see Butch standing there, sitting there, with Denzel Washington. And I said, hey, Butch, hey, man, how you doing? And we embraced and talked. And, hey, Denzel, how you doing, man? How you feeling, man? And in the ensuing months, in fact, you know what? Now that I think about it, it happened before 9/11 because I was in Sardinia, Italy. The legendary Gloria Gaynor, her husband, the incomparable legend in his own right, Linwood Maxwell Simon. And they had taken me there as a guest. And Mr. Simon was grooming me to eventually move in and work at a capacity at Cliffside Music. And we were staying in a hotel. It was one of the most exclusive hotels in the world. And I remember Mr. Simon called me in my room. Stanley, he said, come on down to the bar. Me and the bar, he says, they have a nice pear drink here that you really like. And in coming down, I saw Denzel in the lobby and said, oh, hey, Denzel. Hey. I said, man, I said, the last time I saw you was at the fights. And Denzel was sitting there with a buddy of his. And he said, now, hold on. He says, now. At the fights, he said, now, were you at the fights or were you in the fights? and we joked and said, yeah, said, you were there. Butch, oh, okay. That night, him and his lovely wife, Pauletta, came to the performance that Ms. Gaynor had. And I remember
as you mentioned about Butcher, that was the last time that I can recollect seeing Butcher over the course of my tenure and time in the business. I saw Butcher an odd amount of times. I remember when him and Don had collaborated together as promoters. Don had come together with Butch, and Butch was Butch Lewis was the one guy that Don King trusted and respected, but for some reason, Butch just didn't seem to want to work with Don. I remember they had a big press conference and they were going to get together, and they never did. I remember right now, Kelly Swanson, the foremost female PR person in the history of this sport, the lovely Kelly Swanson. Kelly Swanson worked with Butch Lewis. She was his girl Friday under. With Rock Newman. Rock Newman. And now you can see the begotten sort of thing. You know, Butch begot Rock, who became a great promoter and the man who brought, in fact, the way it went. Butch didn't have a lot of faith or confidence in Riddick Big Daddy Bo, which Rock did. And it was why Rock was the propelling force behind the career and the injection of Big Daddy Bo into the heavyweight picture, and for nothing else, Riddick Bo is financially solid. I mean, one of the things that Eddie Futch, as we talk about Eddie Futch, who was a part of the Butch Lewis congregation, as Butch Lewis was a part of the Joe Frazier congregation. I mean, Butch goes back to the Joe Frazier days. It was, if you remember that documentary, it was Butch who Ali called down into his dressing room after the Thrill in Manila, and Butch just said, "Everybody looking at what?" Why is he calling you down to the dressing room?
Yeah, well, I remember that doc. I remember watching that documentary.
Yeah, and he called him down because he wanted Butch to go get Marvis, and Marvis confirmed that Ali had Marvis come into his dressing room, and he told Marvis, "Look, Marvis, I heard you upset about some of the things you said about your dad, but it wasn't personal. It was about promoting the fight. But I want to apologize. First, explain to you that it wasn't personal, but apologize to you. And if you don't forgive me, then I don't want to speak to anybody else after this fight." And Marvis did say, "Hey, look, well, I forgive you, boom, boom, boom." And he went back and told his dad. You know, supposedly the comment from Joe was that, why didn't he tell me? But, you know, Butch Lewis's influence on the sport. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. Calling the doctor segment, remembering Butch Lewis. And I remember that segment. I remember Butch. Like I said, I remember Rock Newman. Rock Newman was the head PR man for Butch Lewis and the incomparable Kelly Swanson, right, the foremost PR lady in history of this sport, boxing, was Rock Newman's right-hand lady. She was their girl Friday. I mean, you know, you can see what happened out of that foundation. One of the outstanding great heavyweight champions of his era, Riddick Big Daddy Bo, and a guy that financially solved it. Rock Newman, again, one of the great promoters. Kelly Swanson, greatest female PR lady in the history of this sport. All from Butch Lewis. Butch known for his walking around with his attire with no shirt. And
yeah, Doc, I was just about to say that that's one of the first things that I remember about Butch. Mm-hmm. He was the first person that I ever saw or I've ever seen wear the style of the bow tie and the tux without the shirt.
Without the shirt. Yeah, it was Butch. And it was Butch's trademark. I remember at a dinner, and they were playing The Greatest Love of All. And Butch was near me. I said, "Hey, Butch, what do you think about when you hear that song?" And Butch looked at me like, you know, he answered as if I'd asked him his name or such good. He said, "Ali." And I was like, "Ali, you know, The Greatest Love of All. From the movie, George Benson, The Greatest Love of All," and Ali. And Butch, the mentor and driving force behind Michael Spinks. And Michael Spinks never, ever came out of retirement. When Butch, as we call Spinks Slim, as Butch advised Slim that it was time to hang it up, Slim hung it up. And people forget that Michael at the early part of his career, really dedicated his time and effort to getting his brother Leon's career off and going. And the aftermath of all that, him and Leon became the first brothers and only African-American set of brothers to win the heavyweight championship of the world. And I remember that as you, Doc Stanley Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is the channel, Sports In Depth is the show. Call in the doctor segment as Mel Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Coco, WFS Star, has brought into prominence on, as he says, Sports In Depth Nation. I remember a couple of things. I remember that when Sphinx came on the scene, I said to the late, great John Francis Xavier Condon, greatest PR boxing man in The Voice and Madison Square, when you go there, welcome to the magic world of Madison Square Garden. And I said, John, I said, you know, Sphinx is not a true heavyweight. And John told me something I'll never forget. He said, Mel, what is a true heavyweight? If you weigh 176, you're a heavyweight. The night that Sphinx became the first man ever as a light heavyweight to win the heavyweight championship of the world is a world night, not only because of his historic place in history, sports-wise and African-American-wise, but it was a Saturday, HBO fight, and I remember Grambling was playing this legendary annual game at Yankee Stadium, and being honored there was the incomparable, the legendary, Julius, Dr. J. Winfield Irving, Jr., greatest player ever saw a day in Austin, and the Willie Mays players. And I remember the ceremonies, and I remember Julius asking me, what was I going to do afterwards? And I told him to head down to the fight. And he said, well, hey, come on, I'll give you a ride downtown. And we got into the limo, and he wanted to talk to me because there were some personal things happening. I remember him having the glass lifted so that we would have privacy. And we talked about some things, you know, just two good friends. What a blessing to have him as a friend of the good Lord. And he drove me down to a friend's house and my buddy's house. And I went to watch the fight. So I remember the night, not only because of the historic overtures that eventually came about, I remember the night because I also went to the Grambling at the old Yankee Stadium, too. It was at the old Yankee Stadium. Got a chance to shout at Coach Robinson, who was a big boxing fan. And me and Jewish Joe drove down together, and I saw that fight. I remember Butch Lewis telling the story. Butch was telling me of when Mike, never forget it, June 27th, 1988, Atlantic City, New Jersey. Atlantic City had become, through King and Donald Trump, the capital of boxing. And I remember telling Donald that about a year ago, and he, I said, you know, boxing's never been the same since you left, when you and Don. And he told his guy, he was telling, I think Mark Cuban was at that time. He said, hey, tell him. He told the guy, hey, tell him. I told him, give us. And Sphinx had knocked out Jerry Cooney in a fight that was probably going to be, they thought it would be the precursor.
You know, it's
to,
funny you should mention that, Doc, just to interrupt for a quick second.
Right, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
about
right.
The Cooney fight, it was brilliant in him, and brilliant in Butch and Mike taking that fight. A lot of boxing people thought Mike was going to get destroyed in the Cooney fight, Doc, and it
sure
turned
did,
out to
sure
be
did.
Brilliant.
Oh, brilliant. Now, it was brilliant. It kept him undefeated and propelled him into the then fight, definitely of the year, and fight of the century. Of that century, of the decade, no question, the undefeated Michael Sphinx against the undefeated Mike. And I remember Butch Lewis at the press conference, Butch said, somebody's O has got to go. And
yeah.
He told this story of going into the dressing room before the fight, as is the customs for both camps to go in and wish luck to both sides. And he said, Mike Tyson was in the dressing room punching holes in the wall. And Butch says, oh, my goodness, I'm going to send my man out against this. And he remember going back into his dressing room, and Slim asked him, you know, what was happening over there. And Butch, oh, none. He's just, you know, just relaxing. But the day, I'll never forget it, great fight. Art Rush Jr. was there. Everybody was there. And I remember it was my birthday. I remember Atlantic City, I spent that Saturday, my birthday, June 27th, which is also my sister's birthday. It's the day before my grandfather's birthday, and Derek Jeter, who wasn't on the scene just yet. And it was just, I remember, too, how Sphinx talked about, I remember Mike, after knocking Sphinx out, looking across the ring and putting like an arrow through his heart and he must have been looking at Butch. And I remember Spinks saying at the press conference that what surprised him was the hand speed of Mike and his intellect, because when Mike dropped him in the first round and he got up, he said he was contemplating Mike bringing the left hand over the right, but he put the right hand over the left, or vice versa, which threw him off. He wasn't so much studies. It threw him off and went down again. And I think that Mike Tyson, June 27, 1988, Atlantic City, my birthday, was the greatest Mike Tyson ever was. Just a man. But Butch Lewis, he also, if I'm correct, Butch at one time had Bernard Hopkins and Maurice Blocker. And I think also he had. I mean, his premier guy, his Ali, his number one star was Michael. And I never get Spinks. We're out in Vegas to show you the class and character of Slim. And a guy came up with some. Why would a guy do that? But anything that happened. He had some sports covers and he had Mike's on a couple. And he had one where Mike was laying on the canvas after Mike had knocked him down. And I was standing next to him. You just can't put in words the program, the power, the magnitude, the mercies, the grace of God. For me to be standing there at that time, that place, and me and Slim were talking, and he signed the picture, the one with him, on the canvas, and he turned to me and he said, You gotta sign them all. Gotta sign them all. Just what a hell of a human being. And the same can be said of thank you, we said of Butch. I mean, Butch was always a class act. Always, how you doing? How you feel? Hey man, give me a minute. I'll be right back to you. The interview. Hey man, give me a call. Always had time for you. I'm saddened. Oh yes, heart attack, 65. One time that was at old age, 65. He just starting to operate a little bit. He was a influential, a pivotal, unique, and special personality in the sweet science. We'll be hearing more about this, no question about it. Butch Lewis, he's the one guy that I know that Don King highly respected. I remember one of his bodyguards for Slim. And I said I needed a pair of Slim's gloves. And about a week or two later, they came in the mail, autographed to Melvin, Michael Spinks. And I remember signing a picture. There's a picture of me up at the podium after he had beat knocked out Cooney, your champion, Michael Spinks. And he was our guy, but a hell of a human being. And it's sad to hear that he has passed on. But it's just, you look back at Butch's career. Butch was part of that Frazier camp, part of that Frazier family. And you look at how he went on to start his own boxing family and to also do so well in the world of the sweet science. And I remember that Michael Spinks never, I've heard nothing where he ever remotely thought about coming back. And
you know something,
back,
Doc, in the world of pro boxing, that really is very rare.
Frankly,
Doc, I can only remember Michael Spinks and maybe Marvelous Marvin Hagler being the only guys that ever said, hey, I'm hanging him up for good and stuck to it.
Yeah. And in Marvin's case, out of disgust and disdain, and Slim's case, out of saying, okay, this is I'm letting it go. Mike, Marvin, walked away in a whole different mindset and plateau. Disgusted at the game and felt he was cheated. Mike, think he was. You'd come on back and get him again. It wasn't like Marvin was undefeated, if I remember correctly. The loss to Tyson was the only loss Michael Spinks ever had. Michael Spinks beat from Brooklyn Eddie.
But Gregory, Mustafa Muhammad, then Eddie
came,
Gregory. You're right, Tom.
Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, and in a controversial fight. It was a close fight. It was thought by some to be a fight in those days on TV that Eddie had got a bad deal, that the Sphinx, you know, the Olympic champion, you know, the gold medal winner, and if I'm correct, too, him and his brother are the only set of brothers to win gold medals, and the only set of brothers to win gold medals in the same Olympics. And
yeah, you're right, Doc. And then went on to win the heavyweight championship.
Unprecedented.
You know, I have you on the line, Doc. I have to personally thank you in regard to talking about great fights and great heavyweights. I got to see, because of you being nice enough to get me pressed for that, you know, among others, I have to thank you so much, Doc. I thought I saw one of the great heavyweight rumbles of all time, live and in person, at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. And this will bring a smile to your face when I mention a combatant.
Mm.
It was Lennox Lewis against
Ray
the
Mercer.
Old war horse, Merciless Ray Mercer,
Mercer,
the old sergeant.
That was the fight, Rooney, that showed me that Lennox Lewis could fight. I remember they talked of, and you're more than welcome, thank God, all good, wonderful things come from God. I remember Ollie Dunlap said when they went to see Ray train, when Lewis, him and Ray Leonard, Jenks Morton, and they all went to see Mike Trainer, and they sat in his office, and the first thing Trainer said was, well, can he fight? And Jenks and Ray and Ollie all looked there smiling, can he fight? You know, before the good boys win a gold medal. He said, no. I know he can box. Can he fight? And we saw that Ray could fight when he fought Duran. I told everybody that was the fight that told me that what Hardy had, and that was the fight that, as far as I was concerned, when he fought Tommy Hearns, that I had him over Hearns. He had fought a better core of fighters, and he had been through hell with Duran. I mean, Duran was the worst he was going to see. Now, that night, Lennox Lewis showed me he could fight, but the highlight of that night was me and you sitting there all night long comforting his mother, who was sitting right there next to us. You know what I mean? Rooney, Mr. Lewis, he's winning. He's all right, Mrs. Lewis. And, you know, she set the
record.
Right,
you know, Doc, my heart went out to my, you know, Doctor, really. You know, I didn't really have a horse in a fight one way or the other. You know, I like
both
of the guys in a way. But I got to tell you, Doc, I, seeing, you know, Doc, that's when I realized how the families really suffer when their family members are in action. Because that poor woman felt every blow that Lennox took.
Rooney, every round, man. I mean, we had to get her oxygen. But you know, you were there. You brought her through it. You, Mrs. Lewis, don't worry. Yes, Mrs. Lewis, he's won the fight.
It was right around the eighth, Doc. And, Doc, it was the real Rocky stuff. I mean, it was Rocky for real. I mean, they beat on each other like pieces of meat. Hey, Doc, remember it was right around the eighth round or so, and Mrs. Lewis turned to us with tears in her eyes,
literally,
in her eyes, and said, do you think he's winning? Doc,
yes,
my heart went out to that poor woman, Doc.
And before you said it, I had that envision in my mind, because she was sitting to the right of us.
Right.
She was sitting to the right of us, and you're right. And in fact, I have that poster as part of my Doc Stanley Sports and Death Memorabilia Collection. So we're going to take a little quick break. We got a good 5 minutes left. Let's take a little quick hit and come on back, and we'll talk about that, because I happen to have that thing autographed. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports and Death is the show. Calling the Doctor is the segment. Remember, Butch Lewis is who we're dedicating this show to. Don't nobody move. The Doc and Rooney will be back in una momento.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soldier, the channel. Sports and Death is the show. And we're back here with our own WF star, Little Coco Melson. That poster, I mean, that was a, I have that. In fact, you know, it was ironic about it. The artist, Paul Gonzano, gave me the poster. And I had Tim Witherspoon autograph the poster, who was a one-time heavyweight champion of the world. Ray
Terrible
Mercer
Tim.
Autographed the poster, who was one-time heavyweight champion of the world. And Terrible Tim is from Brownsville. Evander Holyfield autographed the poster, former heavyweight champion of the world. Bobby Jazz, who was light heavyweight champion, he autographed the poster. We had one guy who wasn't a champion, Jorge Gonzalez, who wasn't a champion. He autographed the poster. But so somehow, I didn't get the Lennox down the line, and eventually I did. And that poster is part of a collection of boxing posters I have. And down the line, we're going to give you the my site number for those of you sports fans across the world who would be interested in some of the memorabilia that I have. And it's some is for sale and some is not. But that poster.
Doc, let me say this right quick. I have to say this in honor of my mom. You know, doing a little bit of amateur boxing way back in the day myself, just a little bit of amateur boxing. You know, my mom would never come to see me fight. And I try to prod her and say, but mom, I'm good. I'm going to win. And Doc, do you know what she used to say? She used to say, I am not going to watch anybody hit my son in the face. Hey, Doc, I used to say, but mom, I'm going to be doing the hitting. Mom, I'm going to win. I'm real good, Ma. And she refused, and I prodded and cajoled and prodded, and she refused, never went to see me. Now, Doc, after seeing what Lennox Lewis's mom went through when we were there, and to see how that poor woman, every time Lennox got hit, she felt it deep down inside, I have to say, Ma, I understand now, Ma. Ma,
I
understand.
Tell you what, you know, Emil's Griffin mother used to always come to the fight, and she'd be ringing, don't be hitting my son, don't be hitting my son. I said, she even threatened to put spells on some guy that I heard. I'm not sure that, but she, you know, don't be hitting my son. It's unique. It's unique, you know. The mothers see it a whole lot different than the fathers do. So often the fathers are right there in the corner. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports and Depth, the show. Got another couple minutes left here. I want to thank Rooney one more time for, as was my panel. He's here to be my crew, keeping me abreast and remembering Butch. Rooney, we got a couple minutes left. Your thoughts, reflections on Butch Lewis.
I like Butch's style. He had gut stock and, you know, he was a bit unorthodox in the way he did things, but the guy was, you know, he was in for it. He would go for it. Like I said, a lot of people thought maybe it was a mistake that Michael Spinks was going to fight big, bad, brutally left-hook Jerry Cooney. And, you know, Butch and Mike took the fight when a lot of folks thought it may be a huge mistake. And
knock
it turned
out
they know exactly what they were doing. Go ahead, Doctor.
No, you're Rooney. They knocked him out. Knocked him out,
yeah.
and then that propelled to that. I remember that great line, Butch said, who always very entertaining at a press conference too. Somebody's O is going to go.
And that's exactly what happened, Doc.
Yeah, June 27th, 1988, Atlantic Tech, Jersey, and they were there. And the greatest Mike Tyson that I think we ever saw fought that night against one of the greatest fighters that we will ever see. And the fight was promoted by one of the greatest promoters and human beings of all time, Butch Lewis. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Thank you for the opportunity that in our lifetime having a Butch Lewis. Thank you for being our God. I ask you, dear Lord, to give us not so much not what we want, but what we need. And we thank you for all things. In your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Well, Rooney, we'll be probably doing our show tomorrow live from the Hall of Fame or whatever, but we'll be getting back to you tomorrow. Well, thank you so much, Tony.
It's always a pleasure and an honor for myself to, you know, speak to you. And obviously, I know that those in the Sports In Depth Nation always find it fascinating. And, Doc, again, my condolences go out to the Butch Lewis family.
As we all do here at Blake Radio and Rainbow. So, Rooney, man, you're the boy. You're our greeter. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth. Live your life today, have you stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others, and when you pay for your safe on earth. Trust in God. Larry Hardesty, take us out of here, baby.
This concludes another edition of Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Rooney, talk to you later, my friend. Thanks a lot, baby.